Okay, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. I'm Tom McCaffrey here with Eric B.
Why am I playing that song?
Is that a trivia thing? Is it from because of Maestro?
No. This year, at the turn of the new year, did we give our intro, by the way?
Yeah, hey. Welcome. All right. Welcome to the show, LE2B. Happy New Year. It's January 4th. And pretty excited. January 6th is coming up. I don't know what I'm going to do. I gotta get my Hang Mike Pence shirt ready.
I got my Viking hat going. That was, by the way, that was a song that we were allowed to play because on January 1st, a lot of these things went into the public domain, as you heard of Mickey Mouse. I'm sure you heard about that, right?
Yeah, that's so strange to me.
Well, it's just the original iteration of Mickey Mouse from Steamboat Willie, you know, with the little dot eyes and everything. But yeah, some music came into that, and that was Mack the Knife, which is a very old song, but it's been done in a lot of different ways with like vocals and things like that. But I think the original version was similar to something like that. The popular version was this. In the
has such teeth there.
You know this one?
And it shows them early white. Just a
who played that? No. Who played that in the movie?
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Who is it? It's
Bobby Darin.
Right. I never saw it. It was like Beyond the Sea.
Right. Now, I think that version is not public domain, but the original, I think maybe possibly it's an instrumental.
Yeah. Perfect. I can't wait to play that everywhere. It's so funny. These things that come into public domain, they're just the worst things ever. They're like, now you can play this song anytime. You can use it anywhere you want. It's like,
yeah, well, that's going to be our new opening. Or we can do this one. This is another variation of it. You want to hear this one? You got to. This is a little trivia. Ready? Here it goes. It might be a little low, but try to listen.
Dinner out of sight. Yeah, the night time is golden light time. Big Dipper at McDonald's.
Oh shit!
Oh, let's see.
Guess what that was? That was
Taco Bell. They had that. They used that for McDonald's.
Do you remember that? It was from 1990. It was Mac Tonight, and it was this guy dressed up as a moon.
Yeah, right. The Big Mac Moon.
Yeah,
Mac Tonight. Yeah, that's right. I didn't know that song yet. I didn't know that there was an original song. Do you ever do that? Sometimes I go on YouTube and I look at like something from early 90s, late 80s, and like they'll have a block of commercials, and it's just like, it's weird. It takes you right back. Like,
right. I know.
You're like, oh, wow. I remember that shit.
I mean, you can get in a wormhole with these fucking things.
It's scary. But what was I? And also, yeah, big shout out to our new sponsor, Mickey Mouse.
Well, you know how
come see us live with Mickey Mouse. We're going to be doing a 3-hour rendition of Mack the Knife.
It entered the public domain, that song and Mickey Mouse, because they both it's 95 years for some reason. They don't do the 100. It's actually that song is kind of like a dark song. It's like a murder. It's like a murder ballad. The actual lyrics.
Do you know what it's from?
The original, I'm looking it up right now, is from like a Three Penny Opera.
Three Penny Opera. Yeah.
All right.
It's bad. It's a bad song.
But
it just sounds like, I imagine like being alive when like that was music, because like there was a time there was just nothing.
Right. Like this almost like you hear this, you feel like you're on an elevator. That the original one.
Like people were hanging out and they were like, oh man, turn that up. Mac the Knife. Oh yeah, sing it. Just like, you know, screaming it in a car as you're driving.
Wow. This was sex music in 1927. You would bang girls. It
explains a lot. That's why it makes sense. Like, when, you know, now that I'm older and I remember my parents and people being older around the 80s and 90s and, you know, rap music, you know, and I'm gonna say like NWA, they must just been horrified. They were like, what is this?
Yeah. Or like when that song was like, I want to fuck you like an animal.
Yeah, and that was like nothing. But yeah, yeah. I mean, I would be terrified. I mean, pop culture just became, right. You know, just took about, leaps and bounds.
I'll play one more clip. Because talking about sex and things in the public domain we can't get in trouble for. This is Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse. I want to make that clear so we don't get sued. This is Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse having sex.
Is that a oh wow,
you missed
is
the
that a thing you on YouTube the money someone did?
Yeah.
But is yeah, that's kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
So Steamboat Willie, it's just him on a boat and driving it, is that it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what entertainment
that was another thing that was entertainment. It's yeah. Just like, oh, that's you know, when they saw movies later, like Terminator 2, their minds must have just exploded.
And I think Steamboat Willie was the first Disney sound talkie, so that was a big deal too, you know?
Right. Yeah, that was a big thing. Like that was a big shift for people in culture when they're like, oh my God, they're talking?
Now I'm thinking like, so if you put up a clip, if you put up Steamboat Willie on YouTube, you could just make money with it, right? Because no one can sue you.
Yeah, but how would you monetize that? Who wants to see that shit?
It says Steamboat Willie will still copyright you if you use this. They are taking it down for some reason. But who's taking it down?
The YouTube sensors or whatever, the monitors.
Yeah, but technically, I guess everyone... Here's a clip of Steamboat Willie. I did find it, though. That's unbelievable.
Good.
he got beaten up by a cat.
Do you have any other silent movie clips you want to play?
I have another clip of.
I'm going to play a clip from the first silent movie I ever made. Get ready.
No.
All right, turn it off. Stop it.
This is all from Steamboat Willie. All right, I'm done with clips.
Okay, so did we start recording? So
this is the only I have fun with real
everyone
audio.
Fast forward to the 10 minutes end for this episode. No, so there's a few. So the Epstein list, some of it I guess came out yesterday. I mean, I've been hearing about this and like it was just as like anticlimactic as I thought it would be. It's just sort of like, first of all, I don't know. Like, first of all, is anyone really surprised by anything more? Can anyone even be shocked by what anyone does in the world? You know, like people are like, Trump's on the list. And I'm like, right. I've seen video of him, like, you know what I mean? Like dancing with Epstein, pointing at 12-year-old girls and basically like miming that he's going to bang them. And they're like,
right.
Can you believe he's on the list? Of course he's on the list. Or the what is it? They're in like they're mentioned in like a court, yeah,
an unsealed document. But it says in the document that says Clinton was on the plane but didn't go to the island. It's all about the island. Nowhere in the unsealed files does it say Trump ever visited the island. So far, there's more stuff though. But someone said something funny to me today.
Because you can only molest girls on that island, right?
Well,
that's the only place it happens. But yeah, right.
But a friend of mine today said something really funny because I was like, you know what? Even if they saw that he went on the island, you know, and it was in the flight logs, his supporters won't care. They'll find a way to justify it. And my friend said something really good. He goes, you know what they'll do? They'll say that he came to the island to rescue the young women. You know, right. Like Sound of Fury, where that movie is.
Totally. Sound of Freedom. I mean, it just doesn't.
I came to the island. I knew there were young girls there, so I had to rescue them, you know.
Right.
I told them to grab my penis and use it as a flotation device and get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's just so far gone. What can he do? What is going to surprise him? And all the people that are in it, doesn't matter. They're not going to. Like, I looked at it and it was very underwhelming. It was just kind of like. You know, and first of all, it's just kind of all the people they've been saying, like Clinton and then like Trump. And then there's weird ones like what's his face? Stephen Hawking. Why is he going to that island?
He didn't.
What is he doing?
No, they didn't say that, did they?
Yeah, he was apparently like on. Well, first of all, they say he liked to go on the plane.
Stephen Hawking went to strip clubs. So look, even if Stephen Hawking was on that island, he wasn't raping women. So maybe he wanted to see things. Right. You know, I never even blame Stephen Hawking at all for having any sort of fetish or weirdness because, you know, try to be in his situation. You know, you need something to stimulate.
No, I don't. I mean, that's the weirdest one. First of all, I'm like, how is he even getting an invite to that island? But
let's face it. The day that he died in jail was the day that the conspiracy theories were never going to end. They're never going to end. They'll never. Yeah. And you'll never hear the real story behind it.
But what about her? She doesn't name anyone?
I don't know.
She's just in jail like forever? Is that, or for how long?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I
thought she would cut a deal. I thought her deal was like she would cut a deal. And he's dead, so she can't save him anymore. I thought she would just cut a deal just so that she'd avoid jail time. She knows where the bodies are buried. How is she doing any jail time?
I think, I don't know. I guess she refused. I mean, these things are always underwhelming. It's just like Michael Jackson apparently was mentioned in there. What?
Wow. Yeah. Him with little kids. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Well, they were little girls. So he gets a pass.
That's that's the part I couldn't really, I couldn't really wrap my head around. But
well, maybe he had some boys there too. I mean, why wouldn't he? You know,
I'm sure there are boys. Yeah. But what, but so it says Clinton claims he was on the plane four times, but he didn't. He parachuted out before he went, got to the island or something, or he got to the island. I mean, there's a picture of one of the girls like massaging him somewhere. Did you see that?
No. Oh, Clinton.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, well, I don't think this just ended here. And then, I don't know. It's not very incriminating. It's just like, you know,
I mean,
these things are so annoying because there's never like smoking guns. It's always like, and then they went there, they knew, they talked to him, and, you know, and that's it.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they all, like, did it, but
the weird thing,
like, what?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go down the rabbit hole with conspiracy theories, him getting killed in prison is not the weirdest. I'm not into conspiracy theories, but it's not the weirdest leap in the world. Because this is a rich guy who's in jail doing hard time. And at one point, the only thing he has to offer is names, right? And he probably didn't want to give them up, right? But you do a little time in prison, all of a sudden, all right, I'll give you some names to reduce my sentence, because everyone wants the big dogs. I mean, he's the big dog, but you know, you could get Clinton or Trump or whatever. So I can't believe no one offered him a deal.
Yeah, you know, I actually went to Epstein Island once. Not him, not Jeffrey Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter, that character.
Yeah.
He had his own. It was a very small island.
I said.
He lived in Staten Island. I went there and he let me sleep with his sister.
No, because he was like, I said, can I? I was on the island and I said, can I have sex with an underage girl? And they said, no. But I go, but Mr. Kotter, I got a note from my mom. And
Please let Eric have sex with an underage girl. Signed Epstein's mother. Is that what it is?
Yeah. That was actually kind of a funny thing for Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
You watch that show. It's kind of funny. It's just a lot full of catchphrases. That's all it is. After a while, it's just catchphrases.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
That was Happy Days, I thought. Oh, no. Maybe you're right.
No, it's John Travolta said it.
Oh,
And
then the black guy, Washington, he was like, hi there. Right.
Yeah. That was a good catchphrase.
Yeah. And then,
and then
Horseshack was, oh, Mr. Kotter. Right. And then the other guy with a note, because I was just watching I watched it before, but the CNN had this thing about the 70s and TV. It was out a few years ago, but they were talking to Gary Marshall because it was a good time for TV. There was a lot of great TV shows. Gary Marshall's shows weren't the best, but all of his shows had like catchphrases, you know, like Fonzie and Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. And then what happened was John Travolta blew up huge while he was still he was like one of the first kind of TV people to cross over to huge movie star. Like, I think he did Saturday Night Fever while he was still on it. So there definitely was a time where John Travolta was like a huge movie star. And, you know, this was back when that actually like meant something, being like a star of movies, like, and on TV, it was like unheard of. So
Yeah, I mean,
he left immediately.
I know, but you know, I almost give him credit because he, I guess his big year was 78 with those two movies, Grease and Saturday Night Fever. Right. But then the next season, he did appear on the show a few other times, like just to be cool, you know? And he didn't really have to at that point. You know? He was slumming it at that point.
Yeah. You think he's still like keeps in touch with Epstein and Washington, John Travolta? And didn't Horshack die?
I think he did. Yeah.
Did you see that? He was on the list.
Did you see that John Travolta commercial where he's the Santa Claus?
I think so, and it's like really creepy or something.
No, it's really good. He starts dancing at the end.
Oh no! I think I've seen it. I thought it was weird, but I don't.
Oh, okay, I just him dancing was that he still
he's still can, dancing. I thought he was like
he dances at the end of the sketch at the end of the commercial.
Do you think it's real? I mean, isn't he like old? I mean,
he can still dance. He's not that old. Yeah, it's not. He's not like jumping around. He's just doing those moves. You know.
So what do you think of the Epstein thing? Like, it was supposed to be this big revelation. I mean, I just feel like it. I feel like in this age of media, first of all, everything. Has such a short lifespan, and just I don't know what can you really do now to shock people. Like, you know, it's just everything comes down to like Clinton and Trump. You know what I mean? Right. Just everything. It's always like, can you believe Clinton and Trump? It's like, all right. I knew Clinton was a kind of a scumbag, but was he like way worse than anyone really realized?
You don't even know because I heard something like Gore might be on the list. This guy Epstein was a big donor to the Democratic Party.
Yeah,
so that's you know.
Well, the girl doesn't say that he did any. The girl says,
"I don't think he did."
That Epstein made a comment like, "Oh, he likes them young," and it's like, "Okay,
yeah." So he
was a dude.
But you know,
it's like, hey, big revelation, you guys. Clinton is a dude.
But all the stuff what they do with these popular Democratic presidents is they try to ruin your legacy, you know, and they've kind of done that with Clinton. They've ruined his reputation. They tried to do that with Kennedy, but all of a sudden he's come back full circle now that the QAnon people are behind him. But look, you know, Clinton, I thought was a good president. He made some mistakes, definitely, but I don't really care anymore because here's the difference.
Yeah.
The difference is they go Clinton and Trump. Yeah. But only one of these guys is on the ballot next year. So, right. Or this year. So the more shit that comes out with Trump and Epstein, to me, it's just hilarious. So if they got to drag Clinton through that, I don't.
Right. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. Like none of this sticks. And I mean, that was part of the, I guess, strategy is that like he's so low. There's literally no expectation. So it's just like, can you believe this guy had sex with underage girls? Like, yeah, of course he did. I feel like he said that. Like, he started out his candidacy with like, you know, sexually assaulting women, like just, and people were like, that's cool. I just, nothing.
Who you mean Trump?
This era just has to play itself out. Yeah. Trump. Like this right. era just has to play itself out. Like, it's going to be like, you know, probably, you know, have a lasting impact.
Right. But it's also this thing where they try to smear popular Democratic presidents after the fact, you know, and times were really good in the 90s and stuff. And I think people are kind of looking back at that nostalgically. I just think that they'll try to smear you. And they're doing that with Obama now. The one thing I talked to some young comic about it, where they do this thing where he dropped these drones. Oh, he dropped all these drones. He killed civilians. Two issues I have with that. One, look, there's obviously terrorists. There's going to be some collateral damage, right? But it's either drop a drone or run a tank through this fucking town. Who is going to kill more people, right? And if your answer is, well, he shouldn't drop any drones, I'm like, yeah, but if you want to kill terrorists, you got to do something. And the answer is not do anything, because if they start fucking with you and you don't do anything, they're going to just keep fucking with you.
Right.
So then this guy, he's like, he's way worse than Trump. This is the guy told me this. And I go, what do you mean? He's like, Trump never did that. So I didn't have any information about that. So I Google it. Trump dropped way more drones than Obama ever did, to the fact where he dropped so many, he made a rule that they stopped reporting all the drone strikes.
Right.
So, but this guy doesn't know that, because this was, Obama had this great squeaky clean image. So they found this one thing about him.
Right.
That was like, but you know, this is the generals talking. The general's like, hey, this is a terrorist guy. We want to kill him. If you keep saying no, the generals are going to be like, all right, well, this guy, you know, if they had done that if they had droned Bin Laden in 98, this wouldn't have been a problem.
Do you think this also goes down to like just human nature, like the negativity bias that people have, where they're more prone to focus on negative things? And there's almost something about, I feel like a lot of people don't aren't. You think they'd be happy when things are going well, but like a lot of people aren't happy when things are calm and going well. Like they want the chaos.
Right. I mean, this is why Biden isn't 10 points up right now. I mean, it's like, it shouldn't.
Is it because he's boring? Is that what it is?
I don't know, but it shouldn't be this close. It shouldn't be this close. Inflation now is tamed. Hopefully this year, the economy looks like it's going to be strong. They're going to be cutting interest rates. I mean,
I don't know. I feel like it doesn't matter. There's something happening that's like,
but you talk
so
to some
big.
Yeah, but you talk what? To some people that I've talked to some people like Biden. They're like, I'm done with him. I'm like, why? They're like, well, the interest rates are really high. And I'm like, well, yeah, because you do that to lower inflation, you know? Yeah. So if he didn't do that, then inflation would be high. He's got to do something.
I was watching Fox News. I mean, like every now and then I'll go on Fox News and they have that show, The Five, where I guess they have that one liberal panelist who actually is like the only one who knows anything.
Right.
It's kind of surprising.
Well,
she like, it's not, it's surprising that they let her do that, that they have someone, a liberal who actually like knows her stuff and all. And it's funny because they do, if I don't know if you ever watch it, but they literally all that they just cling to like three talking points that they just say over and over and over. And it was funny because this time it really pierced through as like, you know, so hollow, because when I was watching, it was like a comedian who was the one doing it, who I've known for years. And they're just like, she goes through like all the stuff that Biden's done. And then they're like, so like, what's wrong with what's going on? That like, what's the problem right now with the economy? And they're always like, what do you think they said?
The inflation?
Gas prices, eggs, border. That's all they say. They always go to gas prices first. And it's so funny because I know this guy, and I know this guy is like, knows nothing. And I'm just
But gas
like,
prices are down.
I know, but it doesn't matter. That's all they have. Like, they're just... nothing matter. It doesn't matter that they're down. You know, all it could go down to 50 cents and it's just going to be like, gas prices are out of control. I mean, seriously. So, but for this
and they also
reason,
compare
really home because I was like, oh my God, I know that guy and I know he's like dumb. So like,
right. And you're also comparing they like to also compare gas prices to like when, you know, Trump was president at the end, gas prices were really low. You mean during COVID where no one was driving and stuff? They're basing it off those numbers, which makes no sense.
Yeah? And everyone seems to have forgotten COVID already. Like people have seemed to have forgotten that was the thing. The other thing they kept, I can't, this is literally what they're saying. And if that's all you're watching and all you're getting, this is what you're hearing. So like, she was like, you know, in the insurrection and they were like, there was no insurrection. What are you talking? Like they really sell. I can't tell. I don't think they really believe it. I think they're just required to cling to that. But that's one of the most amazing things I've watched is.
Then their story always changes.
Rewriting of the insurrection.
Sometimes they'll say there was an insurrection, but the FBI was behind it or there was a false flag. I'm like, they're all over the place with this. Is there an insurrection?
But it's really, and this Tifa's is like two, behind 3 days ago.
Yeah.
They were like, there was no insurrection. And you know, she said like, right, people were just running around with zip ties. But it's insane to me that you can, I mean, that one is such an odd, you know, and it's been going on so long, the gaslighting, it's so disturbing. But I was like, wow, really still, that you're really saying that on national TV at like 8 p.m., to some people, and that's all they're hearing.
Well, today I was at the radio. I pitched this bit, which I thought was really funny, but they were like too much. But there's a board game about the insurrection that's coming out, like a board game.
Yeah.
So I thought, when we have our own parody board games about the insurrection, like board game, like Clue insurrection, you know, like, you know, I'm a guy with a Viking helmet in the Capitol, you know, with zip ties, you know, how people always guess that, you know.
Oh, right. That's funny. Yeah. The QAnon shaman in the house.
Guy in the Capitol stairway
with the flagpole.
With a taser wiping shit on the walls.
right.
So
that's funny.
We came close to do it, but it's a little hot for what we do. But
I just can't believe that you know, again, it was like when you know, when that happened, watching it, it was like, oh, that's it. It's over. And it's amazing how it just was not, it's like, it couldn't be more not over. And there's some poll where like people, a quarter of the country thinks it was, it was set up by the FBI. I don't understand the set up by the FBI theory. I've heard it, but what is the logic behind it? Why did they do that?
I know Gaffigan was trying to refute Joe Rogan about it because it didn't. Joe Rogan was kind of leaning on it. And
he's gone. He's like on, he's over on the
right
on the other side.
Cause they get, and he was like, you know, cause that's, but they're agent provocateurs. That has happened in history where you'll have someone be a part of a movement. It probably happened during Occupy Wall Street, where it was just kind of a little crazy and everyone was all over the place. And you get these like agents and they'll just rile people up, you know, but they're making it to a point where they can only do so much. They're acting like the FBI got everyone. They pre-planned this. I mean, I knew that
they do that at the Woodstock riots.
But so, Joe Rogan was
sorry to interrupt, but incidentally, I watched a documentary of those Woodstock riots in 99, and I guarantee you all those people ended up attacking the Capitol.
Oh, yeah. Those are the same people. Yeah. But you know, Joe Rogan was like, the FBI was behind this too. And Jim Gaffigan was like, well, what was their reasoning? Like, why would they do this?
Yeah. What do they get out of that?
Right. I mean, to make Trump look bad. He's already been voted out of office. So you have to kind of look at,
it's one of those things, you know, it's been going on for so long and it's so maddening, but I've gotten to a point where I'm like, oh wow, I don't have a lot of power. I definitely don't have a lot of power on what people do or what they think. So like, I just can't really get upset about it. I mean, if I talk to someone, I'll express my opinion about it, but it's just like, it's one of those things. I was listening to some interview with some writer, Susan Glassman, who's a writer for The New Yorker, and she wrote a book about Trump with her husband called The Divider. And she made a comment, you know, because it's a lot of like, you know, when are we going to get back to normal? And she was like, this is the world now. Like, this is, and I know this isn't a hot take, but like, no one wants to admit, everyone, you know, keeps thinking like, well, finally, you know, he'll go away and then the Republicans. But it's like, no, it's now it's so far deep. It's so immersed. You know what I mean? It's pierced its way into the government that like, this is it. There's no more. We're not going backwards.
You can't put the genie back in the bottle. I mean, I don't know if you saw this, the on HBO Max. They had this thing about Y2K. Did you see the documentary?
I think I did a while ago, I think.
No, it just came out.
Or is it new?
Brand new.
Okay, well.
And it's actually really good. There's no narrator. They're just like showing clips from things at the time. And it kind of starts with just about computers and the internet and all their doom saying, the people they would have the people talk about how this is good and bad. They nailed everything. They fucking nailed everything.
With the internet and stuff?
Yeah. They were like, they're like, you know, you're going to give your information, but they're going to sell your information. Like someone said that in 95, you know, they said it'll connect everybody, but we'll also be more alone than we've ever been. And this is like at the very beginning. And I'm like, holy fuck.
It's really weird to watch. I've been watching a lot of Twilight Zone reruns. And it's amazing how like on point and prescient a lot of the things are when he's, a lot of it has to do with, and you know, you realize a lot of this has to do with like, it's cyclical and it's been around for a while. Like he's just talking about human nature and authoritarianism. And because there's one I just watched about, it's basically, you know, they don't say when it is, but it's in the future. It's basically like an authoritarian, you know, fascist government. And it's the one about the obsolete man. Do you remember that? Where this guy, they bring out, he's a librarian. I think it's Burgess Meredith. And the government says, and he says, they say he's obsolete because he can't contribute anything to society anymore. So he needs to be put to death. And the whole thing is saying how like an authoritarian government, when, you know, they control everything, there's no humanity left. Right. That they just, people are just kind of like represent like what can they offer and how are they going to forward this authoritarian government? So, and then it eventually turns on one of the top leaders where he becomes obsolete. So, but it's very like, you watch the Twilight Zone and you're like, wow, that's okay. And even, you know, a lot, we were talking about that Leave the World Behind, the, you know, monsters are doing Maple Street with the chaos and everyone turning on each other. And it's just like, there's so, Rod Serling was like a genius, because he, a lot of it is like just completely, and you start to realize, you're like, oh, humans are just very predictable. This is all like,
right. But the thing is that
doing.
When they do this stuff, they're not going to, they won't turn on the people that are obsolete. You know, they always turn on the people who are threats. I mean, that's what Stalin did. He killed all his, you know, generals, right, or purged all the scientists and stuff. You know, in World War II, you know, the Russians lost millions and millions of people because he had purged all his smart generals. So they, you know, yeah, they won World War II, but they were, you know, they didn't do the
right,
best job.
Right, because then you just have all the dummies left, all right, the ones who were like storming the Capitol.
Right, but they just had manpower, yeah. The one thing I would like to bring up is that this documentary got everything right. This wasn't in the documentary, but I saw something a few years ago. It was really funny. It was like in Newsweek, where they, when the internet first came out, they said, here are the things that the internet will be able to do for you. And some of the things they got way wrong. Like the best one was, they go, in the future, you'll be able to go online and order a newspaper and have it delivered to your house.
Yeah.
Or you could get the newspaper on your internet, but they didn't see that in the future.
Right.
That made me laugh.
Like, they dropped the ball on that one. That seemed like it should have been pretty obvious. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's almost like, it's like saying you go on the internet, you press a button and they'll send a VHS tape, yeah, of porn to your house, you know? And
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I'm trying to think the last time I actually watched porn on a VHS. It's definitely been a couple of weeks. like probably like 2006, which sounds late even.
Yeah. I remember, right? Would you watch the same ones over and over again? Obviously.
I feel like I only really had one porn tape in my house once. And I would, yeah. So I really didn't watch it that much. It kind of, you know, porn is just, you know, it always makes me feel bad, kind of. Like if I watch porn, it's like I really have to be like, I don't know. Like it's very hard for me. And so like with the videotape, it made it like there were a lot of steps where you could kind of stop yourself. You know what, right, I mean? Because you had to get the tape and then you had to go to the VCR and then like put it in. Then you had to find things. And I think by the third step, you were like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. It's kind of like, you know, tuna fish. Do you like tuna fish?
Yeah, it's too much work.
Well, I like the end. When I bought tuna fish and someone's like, here it is, I'm like, oh, but when I make tuna fish, it's so gross making it. By the time I'm done making it, I don't want it anymore because it's so disgusting to make. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of how I feel about porn. Like now that porn is so easy, I can just press something and porn starts. It's easier for me to get. Like if someone just makes me tuna fish, that's the best analogy you're ever going to hear about porn.
Well, but I contend the other way. I almost liked it the other way, because when you watch porn now and you watch it for a certain reason, you're like, I got to find the right scene for it. And then there's too much stuff out there. So when you had one tape, you're like, I got to make it work with this thing. Cause
yeah, you know, you were like, it's gotta be this video of two dudes.
It's like, it's either the video or two dudes, or I got to watch Mannequin 2. Cause that's the only two videotapes I had.
Right. Right. I guess this is it. I'm just gonna jerking off to the Little Prince. This is it.
I think I wore holes in some of the, because I would only have a couple of them, and you would time it your thing for when certain things happened. After a while, you'd watch the video, and at that point, it somehow kind of like skipped, or because when you usually stopped
so
it.
Worn out.
Yeah, but that was the area you usually stopped it or paused it, you know, and it was
right. Does someone have a joke about that? Like, that's when you know a movie's like, you can tell if a movie's good or not, that like, because porns are bad, because once you're done you stop the movie, but like, right, like good movies, even if I, you know, if I'm done while I'm watching like Goodfellas or Apocalypse Now, I'm gonna watch the rest of the movie. But porn is never like afterwards, like lured me in, you know. Like, wait a minute, what's gonna happen here? And I was
like,
thinking,
you jerk off to the Godfather in the restaurant scene, you know, still watching.
Yeah,
after.
I guess there's nothing related to it, but it's amazing what we had to like make do with when we were young, like the things that I would like watch on video that were literally just nothing, like people with clothes on. Like there were like movies that they had like a, like the Police Academy movies. You remember those?
Yeah.
Remember there was a girl in it, like who was really hot and they always like her boobs were really big. Callahan.
Wasn't Kim Cattrall was in the first one, I thought.
She is, but this one was in everyone. She was like hot. They you know, like Police Academy movies, they had the same jokes every movie. Yeah. Do you remember that? Like, which is so ridiculous. Like that we just kept seeing though, because the running jokes were always like, remember the girl, the black woman Hooks, who was really quiet at the end of the movie, she would always finally yell at someone. That was one of them. And then there was a guy who was obsessed with guns. He would go nuts and shoot someone in some situation. And there was one where the girl had big tits and they would always have some scene where like her tits get like smushed up together. So I remember I would just watch that and she was hot, but she was just had clothes on. So
you timed it though.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too far into this, but I just remember I would watch those. That's what we had, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I was talking to someone that, like, they don't really have sex or nudity in movies anymore because you don't really need it. Back then, it was like, that's what you needed sex and movies to get people to go because that was incentive and there was no way for us to see it other than that. Now
that's
it's
why
like,
I don't like it in movies. I don't know why you need it in Oppenheimer. It made no sense.
Yeah, that was weird. There was just like a top, what, they're like two topless scenes out of nowhere. It's just like, the girl's only in two scenes and they're like, all right, take off your shirt. Like, okay, well, why am I doing this?
You know that
about like the atom bomb.
Someone probably jerked off to Oppenheimer. Right. You know,
is this about the atom bomb? Do you really need me getting railed doggy style by a scientist?
Yeah. If the atom bomb isn't going to get you, you know?
Yeah. The fact that there is more sex in that than in, I don't even know what sex movies are out now. But you know what? I saw a movie this summer, Jennifer Lawrence, and she does full frontal nudity in it.
Oh yeah, that I saw that too. I finally saw it.
I thought it was good, but like I couldn't believe it. I mean, and I guarantee it was kind of a throwback to R-rated comedies, you know.
She said, like, it wasn't a double, it was definitely her. I googled that immediately because I'm like,
it made me like her more, actually. I know like that sounds like dumb, but it showed me she was kind of like a good sport. It was kind of like, you know, like she wasn't like a lot of times women are like, they made me be nude for the movie. They made, you know, this was like, yeah I'm going to be nude for the movie. I want people to go see the movie. And cause she knew that she was like a producer. So,
I mean, Boogie Nights, they
finally
had a lot
gained
of,
my respect.
Yeah. And Boogie Nights, they had a lot of famous actresses, well-respected actresses like Julianne Moore. They were all naked. I mean, you're making
that was weird too, because that was considered like a highbrow movie. And it was just like, how did they trick you into thinking a movie where you're getting banged and nude in a porn was like an Academy Award caliber, I guess, because it was made. It was, but it was like movies were, you know, they were different, you know, like,
I mean, any movie that can make John C. Reilly a porn star, I got to give him credit.
Yeah. I do think it's funny though, when they like, will have someone nude in a movie that like is not attractive, you know, and you're just like, I don't need Kathy Bates to be naked in this movie, you know? Lena Dunham, remember she was always naked in her show? And it was like, dude, I don't want to see this.
Are you still watching? I was having a conversation with someone yesterday that the show, I watched a little of it. It's so brutal. You told me to watch it where they show you slowly getting, you're naked. They show your dick and then they.
Yeah. The
Naked Attraction, I think it's called.
Naked Dating or something. Yeah.
I thought it was Naked. Oh, yeah. So.
I don't remember the name. I was too distracted by the dude's dicks.
And you were saying they always make up different excuses, like why they don't like them, but it's all about
the penis. They show them all their dicks, and then they're like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. I just don't gel with him. I get a bad vibe from him. It's like, really, it's nothing to do with it's the smallest dick or that his balls are disgusting.
But I thought of it. I was talking to Drew Buechler about it because I think he wants to do a joke about it. But I said they should have another show like this, more realistic. Instead of showing the dude, you slowly show his bank account balance, like a little at a time.
Yeah, that's funny.
and see how many zeros and zero, and then, you know.
Yeah, zero. Oh, four zeros. That's like zero, zero, zero. But yeah, that would make more sense. Yeah.
That would actually kind of be funny, actually.
That would be funny. That'd be a good parody. But also, like, One thing I noticed about that show, though, is like a lot, a few times I saw it where the women, they start out nude and then they show up later with clothes on. And sometimes they look worse with clothes on, which is weird. I feel like that's not usual. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I watched that show. I'm like, this is the end of Western civilization. And I saw that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like people who are like really old now watching this, it must be like, what the, like, what is it going to be like? What's going to come out in the next like 30 years?
Was it the Idiocracy where they're just farting?
Welcome to ass dating. It's just like a bunch of double ended dildos.
Yeah.
There was something else I wanted to talk about. Oh, so all right. I saw in the movie. I want to talk about this thing, and I want to talk about Chappelle. Did you watch the Chappelle thing?
I did see it, yes.
So I'm just going to mention this movie quick. Did you see Maestro yet? The Bradley Cooper
I did
movie?
Not see it. I want to. It just seems a little boring to me.
It's, yeah, it's, I mean, like, I guess it's good, but I didn't love it. Like, it feels like it's like a good movie and he's really good in it and everything. And she's really good, but it's just, it's kind of just like too much. And it's just, it seems kind of unfocused. Like, it doesn't really, like, it focuses on, first of all, I didn't really know anything about him. So I thought it'd be, and at the end of the day, it's just another biopic movie. And those biopic movies, they always kind of run into the same problem. It's just kind of the same formula every time. You know, it's just like they start out and they're like, oh, and they're really like fresh faced and they have all this potential. And then, you know, they get a lot of success and it starts to kind of like hurt them. And then they go in another direction. They kind of have the downfall and the personal demon. So I don't know. I feel like biopics like kind of always run into that trap.
Yeah. I just want like watching documentaries. I really do.
Yeah. But it's funny because you can tell Bradley Cooper like wants to win an Oscar so badly. And he's, yeah. I mean, he's a really good director. You know, just kind of, yeah. It's very unusual that this.
He should win the Oscar for his fake Jew nose that he put on there for no reason.
That's the other thing too. I mean, he Leonard Bernstein, he did look like that. So I guess.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Oppenheimer had kind of a big nose too, and they didn't do that with him.
I think it's weird that Bradley Cooper was on Broadway playing the Elephant Man and he did it with literally no makeup. Like he refused to do any makeup. He was like, I'm going to do such a great performance. I'm going to do it all with my body. But it's like Leonard Bernstein. It's like, yeah, his nose was kind of big. Give me a huge nose. Elephant Man, nothing. I don't need anything for Elephant Man. That guy had a huge, disgusting head. How about I just am really good looking the whole show? And I'll just kind of like walk weird.
If they ever do a biopic of Ron Jeremy, are they going to add penis size? I guess they can do that, right?
Yeah. You know, that sounds like a ridiculous thing. Say, you know, if you had said it like years ago, but now I could see them doing that because of how his huge, immense downfall.
Yeah.
Which I feel like almost if you go into porn, there's just, you know, it's. The downfall is pretty much inevitable. I mean, I love how him doing porn was like the peak of him doing well. and then it all went bad after the point. I feel like people don't do well when porn ends. Like it's kind of hard to just,
well, I think for the women
move away
too,
from porn in a healthy like, way.
Your career is basically over at like 28. That can't psychologically be good for you there. You know, if once you hit 28, you're like a MILF. I mean, that can't
right.
cycle.
I do think that's funny. I figured that out, that MILFs, I was like, oh, I'm so dumb. I was like, oh, they have kids? Like, I assumed like you had to really have kids to be a MILF and poor. I didn't know. It was like, if you're over 30, you're just like clear a mother. So Maestro, but this is the thing. Do you remember, they don't do this anymore, I've noticed, where, remember it was like really like, it was kind of like, in vogue for actors when they wanted to stretch themselves to play mentally handicapped people.
Yeah.
Do you think, I don't think you can do that anymore.
No.
I feel like, right. Like you, but remember that was like a huge thing. They were always like when they were going for the Oscar, they played someone retarded.
I think the jump the shark moment was Sean Penn, who's a great actor, played I Am Sam. And that was really not good.
Yeah, but especially now in society, like people get mad when someone like is like playing a Mexican and they're like, wait a minute, you're not fully Mexican. Looking back, it's also like patronizing.
Right. But it was also like West Side Story. They remake it and they go, this time we're going to make it with real Puerto Ricans. And then they go, oh, so what is this girl? And she's Colombian. She's So then you didn't really do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you came closer, but I mean.
Right. At least it's not white people. But also, I just think looking back on that, because I was such a thing, and I feel like no one really was, no one called it out. Like, in fact, they were celebrated, you know, like, and I was thinking it'd be a funny thing where like, imagine like these actors having to set this up, you know what I mean? Because they always would say they studied retarded people, right? You know? So imagine like them calling just a random woman and they're like, hey, this is Brad Pitt. I heard your son's retarded. Like, can I live with him? And then I was thinking, like, imagine like you discover you're retarded that way. You know what I mean? Maybe you're not sure. Like, you're just hanging out and they're like, hey, honey, Matthew McConaughey and Leonardo DiCaprio are here. They want to watch you brush your teeth and try and get dressed. And they're like, wait a minute. Am I retarded? Like, what's going on? Why are they imitating my walk? And I was thinking like, but this is the thing I wanted to say, where like, if a huge movie star wants to study you and your life, that's like a red flag that like something is going wrong in your life. Like, you're either like a sociopath, like a serial killer, or you have like autism or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But now they have to be the person that they are. So if it's a retarded special needs.
I know
person.
You're not supposed to say that, but yeah.
But that Woody Harrelson movie that came out this year, they were all special needs.
Right. Which playing. Makes sense. You should have them playing, you know what I mean? Like, there are actors, right. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just but looking then back it, and no, what?
Is it acting then, if that's the case?
If they really have the affliction.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, they still have to like learn words and, you know, lines. It's like, just.
Well, I heard they're making.
Well, it's better than watching like someone like Sean Penn just be like.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree. Like, obviously.
Sean Penn, what are you doing?
I heard they're making a new movie about the Headless Horseman, and they actually found a headless actor to play.
Yeah, finally. That would be it. I guarantee you, we're not even far past that point where people get offended. Like, what is this?
Wasn't Johnny Depp
Johnny
in the
Depp
movie?
Johnny Depp has a head. He didn't play the Headless Horseman, but imagine like that's like the big break you get in movies. Like, I got a lead in a movie. Headless Horseman. Is that you? I think so. I'm not sure. I can't see my head. Or the guy who got the role for Invisible Man. I feel like I could just say I got the part of the Invisible Man and get away with it.
So what are superheroes gotten? Then we can go with the superhero movies too. I mean, you know, if you're going to try out. Well, maybe Superman should really have superpowers, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe just not make that anymore. I feel like 20 is enough.
I think there was an old Saturday Night Live sketch that was pretty funny. I think
it's with Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, right. And then it's the
final callback.
Right, but he doesn't have the superpowers, right? Or does he? Or the other actor does?
He does, but they both do, and he keeps like getting it wrong. It's really funny. So it's like it's Rich Hall. That guy was pretty funny.
Yeah, I loved Rich Hall.
And Gary Kroger, do you remember him? He was only on for like one, but he was funny too. And they shoot, you know, they do a scene where they're shooting at Superman and he has to catch it in his teeth, the bullet. And so he shoots at Rich Hall and he catches it in his teeth. And then Christopher Reeve it keeps bouncing off his teeth, the bullet. And they're like, what the hell's wrong with you? And he's like, I'm sorry, I've been working on this. And then. And Gary Kroger's a real dick, and then they shoot him and they just kill him. And then they're like, okay, so we've narrowed it down to you two after they kill him. And the whole thing is Rich Hall sucks, but he has superpowers.
Right.
Do you remember how it ends?
I don't. I do remember those years. Like, those were funny Saturday Night Lives then, but you know, Eddie Murphy or Billy Crystal got a lot of the attention, but those other characters were funny. I thought the funniest thing I ever saw, I try to look for it, is Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on the show. And and Gary Kroger, and they played Donnie and Marie. Do you remember when they did this?
Yeah, and they're like making out.
They would never do that now. Never. They go, I'm a little country, I'm a little rock and roll. And they start looking each other in the eye, and then they just start making. They would never do that.
Right, because apparently that was like, there was always some weird chemistry between them, right?
No.
Like, they were brother and sister, but they always seemed like they were like in, like, they were into each other.
There was a lot of Osmonds. I'm sure there was some incest there, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, so the Superman skit ends really funny where they give it to Rich Hall and then okay. they're like, all right, so we start, you know, we start shooting on Monday and he's like, I can't, I have a callback for a Dial soap commercial. And they're like, you can't get out of it. And he's like, no, sorry. And then it, and then they're like, all right, I guess we're stuck with this idiot. And that's how Christopher Reeve gets a part.
Remember any, remember any horrible jokes there were after Christopher Reeve got paralyzed? There was just tons of them. They were all pretty stupid.
Yeah, Eminem really like went hard on him. He was always kind of shitty about, he would always reference him in his rhymes, like his injury and just in a bunch of songs he would always kind of like he's like, I won't stand for this and Christopher Reeves won't stand for this neither, or no, won't sit for this neither. Yeah, he has a lot. It became a thing, and you know, because his thing was always like being inappropriate and saying right. things that were shocking. I do always, you know, I like him, but I always was like, all right. He was even doing it after he died. He was like making cracks about him. Wow. I think he said it was because it rhymed with so many things, but it seemed a little, I liked Eminem, but sometimes he seems to like not be able to let go of things.
Well, I mean, that's a, bring us into our final topic is Chappelle. He did some trans jokes, but I'm glad he didn't do too many because it's just beating a dead horse. And you know, he was like trolling people with it. It's not like it offended me, but it was just, I kind of found it boring after a while. In this last special, he wasn't really doing too much. He was making fun of handicapped people, but
right. What did you think of it?
It was all right. I mean, it was better than I think the last few. I mean, I think he's a great comic. You know, I don't like when people try to shock for shock's sake. I don't know if he's doing that.
Well, but, why does he keep doing? And first of all, I don't really even care. I watched it and I was like, yeah, it was fine. But then it's funny. I went online and all these people were really mad about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess. But it is weird. Like, why is he so? Is it just kind of like because people keep attacking him? It's kind of like a bravado thing, or just right. kind of like I'm not gonna back down. But
yeah, but I did notice one thing that was very interesting in this concert. You could really see the audience, and the audience was all middle-aged people, and you forget about that, you know. So that's his audience, and they like that, right? So the young woke people, some of them don't even know who Dave Chappelle is at this point. They're like, oh yeah, whatever, he's like the old guy who just tells fucking off-color jokes. So
right,
you know, he's just playing to his audience, and that's pretty much what happens, you know, when you go to a Matt Rife show, you're not going to see a bunch of middle-aged dudes there. And if they are, they're probably gay, I would imagine. Right?
Yeah.
You know, so
hopefully
you can learn a lot from the comedian, from the audience. And I see it so much. You know, sometimes you young comics getting away with murder because it's all young people in the crowd.
Right. Getting with murder how?
Just crushing for like, because they're young and cute. And you're like, so right. I woke up today. Yeah. I'm like, was there a joke there? I don't understand this.
Well, that almost seems like there's a type of comedy. I forgot what it's called, where it's just kind of reference comedy, where they just say things that people know exist right. in the world. Like, hey, you guys ever go to Starbucks? You know, they're like, yeah, Starbucks. I know that.
But you almost, as a comic, especially working at clubs, you have to keep up on the references, and they always change. And for younger audiences, they like the newer and newer references. Like, that's how I even heard that Hinge was a thing. I didn't even know what Hinge was. I thought everyone, you know, said Bumble or Tinder, but they all started saying Hinge. So I'm like, I guess this is the thing now. So you almost have to listen to what they're talking about. Because if you say, you know, like, oh, I went on a date. I was on OkCupid. People are like, what the?
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, yeah, I was on a date with this girl that I met outside. Like, what is this shit?
I was on Yahoo Dating. Do you know that one?
Rapist. So I was talking to my girlfriend who I met outside. You rapist. Where, on Epstein's Island?
Yeah. But if you're not because I remember seeing like how the Facebook jokes turned into Instagram jokes, turned into TikTok jokes. I mean, like,
yeah.
After a while, the references become lame. So
Yeah, well, so the Chappelle thing, I guess, like, when I first watched it, I was like, yeah, that was good. And then the more, I think I started watching it again, and I was kind of like, oh, yeah, he kind of talks a lot. And he's just so, like, you know, I think I like him because, like, it's not all jokes, which is kind of what people attack him for. They're like, you know, why does he tell jokes? Why is he just funny? And it's like, I don't know. I think he's just done it so long, and he's so good. He's so comfortable. He's just able to kind of go up and, like, go at his own pace. And that's kind of what I like. He's very, like, compelling person to watch.
And I also, a comedian, I like to watch him technically, the things he does. Thing he did several times, and he's done it before, where he pretends his joke makes him laugh so much, he, like, kind of stops and walks around and stuff.
You think he's pretending?
Of course he's pretending. I see comics faking laughs all the time, but there's nothing wrong with that, because it is actually a good device. And sometimes I forget that on stage. It's like, you want to, the thing the audience wants to see most is that if you're having fun, they're having fun. And, you know, some people are really good at faking it. You know, not saying he's not having fun, but he's said these jokes before, so they can't make him laugh that hard that he's doubling over and he's walking around, unless the whole thing was ad-libbed, which I doubt. But because I see comics doing, you know, Chris Rock's always smiling and laughing. And I think these are good things. I'm not saying they're bad things. It's all part of the performance, you know?
That's interesting. I actually always just kind of assumed he was genuinely laughing, because he has been doing that from the beginning. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm always, like, amazed when I find out something like, oh, yeah, something in showbiz, maybe performative.
Right.
Which is such an odd, like, of course, like.
The only thing that, as a comedian, I think would genuinely make you laugh is some odd bit of crowd work, or you fuck up your joke, you know, that might make you laugh. But everything else, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that, because it's part of the performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, he is good at it. It's definitely like a part of his performing. But I don't know. Well, what do you think? I guess there's just always going to be a back. It's weird how this trans thing really has a lasting. Because whenever he talks about trans things, like even this one, like, he talked about it a little bit. I don't feel like it's that offensive. I feel like he's always kind of like, he always kind of addresses it and is like, look, I'm not, like, trying to, I feel like he kind of, like, he's like being provocative a little bit. And you know what I mean? He's doing it on purpose, but almost in a way of, like, I'm just fucking with you. Like, he's fucking with them just to fuck with them, which is why it's weird that people get so mad. Yeah. But, like, in not, like, a mean-spirited way. Like, I do think he has these thoughts, and that's his viewpoint. And I think he's just kind of like, I'm sorry, this is what I think. Like, I'm older, and this is how I look. It's weird to me. It's kind of the equivalent of, like, Bill Burr a long time ago, when the Caitlyn Jenner thing happened, and he was, like, saying, you know, look, it's fine, but it's weird. Like, I mean, I need some time. Like, it's weird. Yeah. So he got attacked for that. Like, it feels like, in that kind of same spirit, like, I'm just doing it because it's like, to kind of troll you. Like, what I know you think, and I guarantee a lot of trans people think he's funny. You know what I mean? So
not only that, but I think back in the day, this is the good thing about it, is like, he's getting, like, whatever, 20 million a special. He's getting a lot, right? He doesn't need to be in movies or sitcoms anymore. He can just live off his stand-up, which is actually a good thing, because, you know, back in the day, if you said something like this in your special and you had a sitcom, you could lose your sitcom or do something wrong. He's not worried about that at all. He's uncancelable, you know?
Yeah. And he already went through all that way before it was cool. Like, the whole show thing clearly, like, affected him and changed him in a way that it gave him a little more attitude. And you can tell he just had more of a, I don't give a fuck attitude, which I think is what kind of took him to that next level.
Yeah,
it was kind of the right attitude for the right moment, I think.
I saw the Ricky Gervais special. I really love Ricky Gervais, but I feel like he's trying to, like, you know, they just want, I think it's also a thing where you get promotion for your stand-up if you say a couple of crazy things. That's the thing they work on. You know, everyone will watch it, whether they want to watch it or hate watch it, they'll watch it.
You know who you mentioned it. My girlfriend really likes Gary Goldman, and she put on his special.
I like that. Yeah.
And I've never really watched his stand-up, or I've definitely never watched his special, and I was watching because she put it on. And I thought it was, I really thought it was good. Like, I liked it. It was different. It was very different. Like, it was sort of one-man show-ish, but not. Like, it still was stand-up, but it was different. And
I liked how he was.
It was good.
I thought it was, like, he was talking about wealth inequity. That's not a subject that comics talk about too much. And that was what I liked the most about that special.
Yeah. It was good. The only critique I had is it seemed a little long. I didn't finish it. I can't watch more than 25 minutes of stand-up. And it was like over an hour. And I was like, you know what? I like it. I'm done. Yeah. I remember, you know, what's really fun. I remember watching Delirious when I was like 10 at my friend's house. And, you know, remember Delirious? I mean, remember that there was like one comedy special out every 4 years. And Delirious was like it. It was when Eddie Murphy was like the guy. And getting it was such a big deal. And we were watching it. And I had the exact, even then, Eddie Murphy, the, you know, arguably the greatest stand-up comedian of all time, maybe in one of the most iconic specials, 25 minutes in, I was like, yeah, I'm done. And it's funny. It's just, it's always been in me. Like, I just kind of like get tired out by, right. You know what I mean?
I do remember that.
It's redundant.
Everyone knew every line of that special back and forwards, though. It was really weird.
Yeah, that was really funny too. You'd hear people quoted, and I do remember even like my friends were still dying laughing like 30 minutes in. I was like, "Are we still watching this?"
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed like, and I didn't see Raw when it came out. Everyone was. It's funny. We were talking about this at a show the other day. I remember you guys were basically like, "Well, you don't like stand up."
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, but when I was young, I was like, I don't think I really liked it when I was young. I was like, I don't think I ever really liked this.
But it's also that thing, like being a magician and watching another magician, you kind of see all the tricks they're doing too. And not tricks, but like, you know, it's not as special, you know, like when someone's watches a stand-up who's not a stand-up, they go, oh, I like how we did that thing with the crowd. And you're like, you know, this is all pre-planned. No, it's not, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you kind of know how the sausage is made, so it's not as interesting.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who isn't a comedian, just went to a stand-up show, and they're telling me about a comedian that I kind of know, and I know he does crowd work all the time. And they were like, yeah, I don't know that he was that great, but you know, I don't know that his material was that great, but I mean, his crowd work was like unbelievable. He was just coming up, and I was like, mm-hmm. Like, it's like, no, that's just sort of what he does every time. Right. So, but you know, it's like a magic trick when just a lay person sees it. It's just like, oh my God, that's why crowd work can kill, because people think you're like a superhero. If you come up with something, it gets a huge laugh.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. Did you hear what he said? He said, fuck you.
I'm pretty good at crowd work, but like, I don't really lean on it too much.
Yeah, you're good at it.
But people ask me like advice for it, like newer comics. And I'm like, look, if you don't, if they're talking, you're winning. You know, if you can't even think of something, they'll keep talking and saying something stupid where you don't even have to say anything. You just go, this guy, you know, and you'll get a huge laugh on that.
Right.
Like, so sometimes the comedians, they want to talk too much when they do crowd work. Let them talk and they'll say the stupidest things because they're not comics, you know.
I have noticed that like people who do it well and do it a lot. One thing I notice is they really let them talk and they kind of take their time answering. That's a big thing, because I do think the big problem with crowd work is what's so hard about it is you feel so, you know, under pressure to come up with something in the moment that's clever. But if you're rushing it and your mind is racing, you're not going to come up with anything good. It's when you're just kind of like not overthinking it and you're kind of letting it flow. That's something. And usually a lot of times that takes a few moments, but those moments feel like a lifetime of silence. You know what I mean? Up there. I don't know. Whenever I'm in those situations, I can get out of it. I can hold my own, but that's when stand up really feels like you're on a tightrope. Yeah. Like, it's scary because it can go bad so fast. Right.
Yeah. But you're really good at crowd work, because you're good at just kind of the way you talk makes.
It's weird. I think I'm like okay at it but I don't know. I don't consider myself good at it. I think it's because I would rather not do it, but it's weird. Right. I feel like I do it all the time, which is weird because it's something I feel like I don't feel like I have a natural ability for, but I will do it. I don't know. I think I do it in my own way.
Yeah.
Like, I'll kind of provoke them a little bit. Like, if they don't laugh, I'll like call it out.
Yeah.
But. And they like that. You know what I mean? They seem to like that. Me being like, you, not saying you suck, but like, all right. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, you never make it about them so much. You just like kind of make turn it on yourself. I think that people like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think if you do stand up and no one's laughing, it's, I don't know, it's weird when people don't call it out. I just feel like it's so like awkward.
It's funny.
Like,
though.
What else? Yeah, that didn't do well, but you can get too caught up in it, right? What would your advice be to someone who?
Well, I always tell comics, like, you, I always see the markers of where, how far they're in their career. And like, there's a 5-year marker and there's a 10-year marker. 5 years may kind of where you find your voice, but if you're doing it like 10 years, everyone still bombs, but you're like, and you're upset with it, but you're not like suicidal over it. You're like, yeah, I guess, you know, this didn't work out. You almost have fun with the bomb a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's usually someone who's been doing it a while where they're like, this is ridiculous, but it's kind of funny at the same time, you know?
What can we, so can we talk about that comedian? Did you know him? The one that is rumored to
Neil. Yeah.
The one that died.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, you knew him, right?
Yeah. I knew him pretty well.
Oh, you did. I think I met him once at your show at Greenwich.
Neil.
He was like funny. He was like, I've watched clips of him. He was good.
Yeah,
do you know the story? Funny. That story really bummed me out. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to get into the whole thing, but all I can say...
I don't either. I don't, but I mean, like, you didn't... I mean, that story is so terrible to me. Like, it's just such a bummer. I really did not like...
It's just like when you... But when comics hear about another comic killing themselves, no one's like... No comic's that surprised. The only funny thing... It happened to another comic, and it happened to me. And it was really funny. It was a guy, this Ali Mahedi, you know him, he's very funny. And he said after it happened, a lot of people were texting him and going, are you okay? Are you okay? And I got some of that too. I'm like, what the fuck?
You so got like, it?
Yeah.
Like, because you knew him?
No, they just were like, are you okay?
Oh, because you're a comedian.
No, I mean, this was from other comedians. Like, I go, I think we got suicide energy or something like that. Like, they're like, oh, I think some people just wanted to reach out to see if everyone was okay. But I'm like, I got that way too much.
Like, really?
Yeah.
That's like weird.
I don't know. But I'm not like a big, I'm not very, you know.
I don't know. I don't really get suicide energy from you. But
yeah, but you know me a long time. You know, a lot of comics, I'm just very kind of quiet and aloof and stuff. So they're like,
yeah.
They go, this guy might be next, you know?
That's weird. That's like really, that's kind of patronizing.
It was actually funny though. Because he said I'm like, oh, thank God. I thought it was the only one. Four people like, are you okay? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that you did know. So anyway, that story really, really upset me. I know, like, obviously it's upsetting, but it really, really, I think because I feel like I don't know what happened, but I feel like as a comedian, you know, a lot of comedians, they always talk about they struggle with depression and stuff. And, you know, if you're constantly getting validation from comedy, it's hard because it can be a tough grind. And I know I've gone through times in comedy where I'm just very like down on myself. You know, things aren't going the way I want.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
really a serious thing. I feel like people underestimate, like it really can be. It's a lot rougher than I think people give it.
It's a never enough for. Wherever you are. I mean, I've been at really big comedy clubs where comics and they seem miserable. That's why, like with social media, I post, but I don't lurk. I can't lurk because comics
won't. I have to cut down. I really have cut down, but it's really bad. And I mean, I don't know what happened, but I guarantee that didn't help things. So,
no, because you see some, I got this going, you know, and that kind of crap. And then you talk to the person in real life. I'm like, hey, yeah, so you got this thing. And they're like, oh, my life is the worst. I'm like, you know, it's all fake.
So, well, I realized Instagram was all bullshit when someone came up to me and they were like, hey, congratulations. And I was like, why? And they're like, on Instagram, you put these things. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's all not real. Like, even I like wasn't buying what I was putting it, trying to put out there. Like, I was like, what? No, it's not going well.
Yeah. All right, like, we better wrap it up.
But anyway, but they thought it was going well, so I was like, "Oh no, no, it's bad. It's not good." That's why I put that up there.
Well, at least
it's kind of like when you see people putting up like too many posts about their how great their relationship is or how in love they are, and you're like, "Uh oh,
yeah,
this is on the rocks."
Yeah, you got to see that post a year later with them getting divorced or something.
I saw one of those recently and I was like, oh, wow. And they were always putting up like, I love you.
All right.
All right. Well, that was a very uplifting LE2B, everyone. Please subscribe, join our Patreon. Actually, you know, if you join our Patreon now, LE2B, I will send you a free copy of my CD, Lou Diamond Fellows, is my debut CD. I just got a bunch of copies. So, and I will even autograph it. And you can talk to me.
Nice.
I'll write my number on it. And also you get free tickets to Epstein's Island. Free tours of Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter, the character from Welcome Back, Kotter's Island. You get to have sex with Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All right. Later.